You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. Just got back from a great weekend at the Cleveland Improv. And so I'm going to do something a little different this week. I'm going to focus completely on a joke getting better. Because I got to meet a bunch of listeners, and it's interesting. Some people love my spirals on life and my interviews with my family and my philosophies on things that I hopefully know things about, but will learn more in the future. And other people like it when I just break down a specific joke without all the baggage. So this one's just going to be a joke one. There's probably going to be a little baggage, but I want to show you more behind the scenes stuff, like how I come to some of these cultural conclusions. Before I get into this, this Saturday I will be at the LPCA in Lake Placid performing with my brother. You can get tickets at hugepianist.com. Week after, I'll be at the Punchline in Atlanta. And then in November, I will be in Brea, California, as well as Levity Live in New York. So come out to all those and listen to Case Closed, Beers Open, my brother and my podcast. You can order beer coasters. They're made out of wood of trees that we cut down ourselves, and I sand them and stain them. And there's a really cool, I burn them with Case Closed, Beers Open on it. And all proceeds go to our bar tab. So you can get all that stuff at hugepianist.com. Coasters sold really well in Cleveland to the point where I ran out in like a day, because I usually sell like my DVD of an hour special or like a funny t-shirt, and people buy stuff kind of like to support me, where they're like, oh, you're really funny, let me buy something. But when I'm selling these coasters, they're literally like, dude, I want that coaster. That's why I'm so into making it, because it's not just about like, oh, a funny t-shirt you'll never wear. It's like, dude, this is Adirondack maple or like birch that we cut down and handmade them into sick coasters that you will be like into using. So that's that. All right. So this week I'm going to break down a joke that I thought I already had. And then looking back, I realized I didn't. And the first thing that spawned this was a Twitter conversation I had with some random dude. I'm starting to realize that you can learn a lot from people on Twitter if you just assume that they're not personally coming at you and that you made a misstep, if that makes sense. I was reading a book that said 1 in 100 people are psychopaths, and I actually saw that as very positive. That means 99 out of 100 people are not psychopaths. And sometimes we get in this zone where when we don't see someone or know them, we just assume the worst in them. I came up with this idea, the hate algorithm or the love index, where proximity divided by intimacy equals hate. That's why the internet is making people so hate-filled, is because it's putting a million billion people right next to each other that don't understand each other. And it's almost like how it's like pornography. It's like you can see sex, but you don't understand it from porn. Like you don't know what it feels like, or that a lot of the things in porn don't happen in real life. It gives you an illusion of intimacy that isn't real. And so I think that when you're intimate with a culture, you realize that, you know, they have problems you didn't know about. They have hopes and dreams you didn't understand. They have a history you don't understand. And the thing that probably made you so angry or paranoid can be kind of explained. And like I did some joke about Trump when he was that whole grabbing pussies thing. And I was like, doesn't it sound kind of like he's a closet gay guy that doesn't understand pussies? Like, what do you grab? Like, that sounds like he's like a closet gay guy. And then some like gay activist was like, be like, oh, this is how you think gay people think. And then he started trying to like shame me a little bit. Like, this is what a straight guy thinks gay people think. And then I calmly was like, no, that's not what I mean. And then I was like, I'm sure you're paranoid because of how many people sound ignorant to you and how many dudes that look like me, like bros, probably make it seem like being gay is bad. I'm like, you don't know me enough to know how silly it is for you to think that I think being gay is bad. Like there's nothing wrong at all with being gay. Like that's not even an insult. My insult to him is that he doesn't know what a vagina is. So we're having this back and forth. And if the first couple, he was still a little charged. And then he started being like, so when are you going to play in San Fran next? And we started just being friends. And it all came from the fact that I started recognizing, because in my mind, he knows that I know there's nothing wrong with being gay. So my assumption, that assumption would have led me down this road of like, this dude's a troll. He's just trying to be a dick. He's oversensitive. But if you look at it from the lens of like how many people like have shamed him in his life for being gay, it's he may just assume that I'm trying to be like Trump is gay and that I think that's bad. Okay, there's a point to all of this, I promise. So that conversation led me to start thinking about what people's assumptions, how that will affect a joke. So there's a very specific joke I'm referring to, and that's a joke that I thought I had. And I don't do it all the time. I just do it in a very urban environment, you know, metropolitan, because it requires a very diverse crowd. And it's the history of the word faggot itself. And so this is what I had with the joke. And it works, but just listen.
Even the word faggot's funny. I'll explain faggot. Certain words just don't say. Obviously, there's some. But faggot's hilarious because it's not hateful as much as it is inaccurate at this point. Because a faggot is a bundle of sticks, right? The reason that slang term started was because it was slang for a burdensome person hundreds of years ago. Like the Led Zeppelin album cover with that peasant's wearing the fucking sticks. That's a faggot. And I'll explain. Person, it's called a faggot. 15th century. Someone's blacked out, it's like faggot, because you had to carry on my sticks. Same with postmenopausal women with no children were called faggots. That's hysterical. Alright, so anyway, why did they start calling gay people faggots? I'll tell you, because it was an agriculturally based society. That's where most homophobia comes from. Because you needed people, because there's no machines, right? So you need 20 kids or else you're gonna fucking die. Because they gotta manually take in the wheat. Right? So if you have one kid that's like, I want to put my thing in his ass, it's like, oh, you burdensome man, you're a faggot to the family, right? But then everything shifted. Now, we're no longer an agricultural society, we're a service-based urban society, so gay people are now not only not burdens, they're killing it. Two income, no kids, they're inventing apps, they look great, they're kicking ass. Guess who the new faggot is? Babies. You spent $200,000 on this little faggot's education, and you have no crop. They just go. Babies are faggots.
Okay, so if you take the time to listen to the whole thing, you realize that I'm doing a joke about word origins. But from that new lens, the beginning makes me a little uncomfortable, right? I re-listen to myself, and I'm like, the word faggot is funny. That's one of the ways I start it. That's the assumption that I know they know I'm not homophobic. So after that conversation with that dude on Twitter, I started thinking like, I have to really lay down early that it's not an appropriate word and that it carries a lot of hate in it. And then I had this other conversation. I talk to people after shows all the time, and I've always wanted for you, the listener, to know what my life is like and how rich it is with perspectives. So, and I record a bunch of people this weekend. I'm going to space out and show it for different jokes. But like after shows, I get such pure and honest feedback because I just took an hour to break down their barriers, you know, make them happy. And then whatever background they have afterwards, they can come up and talk to me about it. Super happy to be sponsored by Casper. the best mattresses ever. I've talked about them on a few podcasts. They're legit. They sent me one that we used for Walter's room. We made a teepee out of it, and I routinely sleep on it now. Not even when Amy's mad at me, because I love how soft it is. It is obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. That's not a blog, folks. That's Time magazine. Shipping can get expensive, right? Yeah. Well, guess what? Free. Free shipping to get or return to the US and Canada. You can try Casper for 100 nights of what I think will be very restful. Risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund everything. It's made in America. If you're listening in another country and you're not as fired up about that as we are here in America, you know, come on, we don't make that much anymore. Just help us out. It's made in America. I have an offer for you as a listener, as one of my peeps. If you buy a mattress, this is what can go down. You can get $50. I don't remember who is on the $50 bill. I was about to say something clever. You can get a blah, 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 but I don't know who that is. But you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Owen. My name is spelled O-W-E-N. Owen.
Owen. Owen.
Terms and conditions apply. And this is a cool perspective I got.
You're from Lebanon?
Okay, so being from Lebanon, we, our parents and their generation lived through 30 years of war. And they ended up hating each other based on their sect and their religion. So they grew up, directly or indirectly, letting their kids hate each other, and the kids never knew why. So the kids grew up and they hate each other, and they don't know why, but they just, they don't like each other. And that's been like that. And then their kids are gonna hate each other, and then they're gonna have no idea why. I read a joke once. You put 5 monkeys in a cage, and you put some steps.
Oh, that's a true thing. That really happened.
And the banana.
Yeah, and by the end, the culture is established.
Whichever monkey goes up, the kids grab the banana, everybody else gets electrocuted. So they don't let any monkeys go up. And then you take a monkey out and put a new monkey in, and the monkey doesn't know. So he tries to go up with the banana, they all beat him up. You keep changing them, eventually none of the monkeys knows why, but everybody beats anybody who tries to get up. But they don't
Is that interesting? It's yeah. fascinating.
It's an actual experiment.
People still are like, they're stuck in these cultures. It's like genes don't mean, it's not genes, it's memes. It's about culture.
Yeah.
I saw that from South Park though.
South Park.
Isn't that fascinating? So the monkeys didn't remember why they originally did what they did, but the culture had been established. So this dude's from Lebanon and he's explaining to me that, I know the audio is bad, but you know, whatever, that, because of ancient things, even just 30 years ago, people don't teach why they hate someone. They just teach to hate someone until it just becomes a norm. And I'm very, very pro rethink. Rethink why you are the way you are. So then I started thinking about this faggot joke where I'm like, the reason I got so fascinated by the word was that someone's like, oh, it means bundle of sticks. So don't say it because it means you hate gay people. And I'm like, how do you get from there to there? Like, we're missing a major chunk here. And that's fascinating to me because so many people, you know, humans are inquisitive, but at the same time, we're a little quick to just be like, oh, I guess that's it. That makes sense. That explains everything. And there's a good balance. I'm not recommending that you enter my world of analysis because it does become a bit of a burden. Like it's a faggot on my shoulders. But, you know, it's good to live like a dog and just be like, let's go outside. I want to pee on stuff, throw the ball. Big fan of that. But you can put hate to bed forever if you understand the origins of why. And in a previous, last week's episode, I talked to my friend who's a combat veteran, and people wrote to me that that was a very powerful episode to them and they really liked it. And one of the things that he taught me that I've also learned over the years as a history buff is that, like, people will start giving names and dehumanizing people that they're about to start killing or subjugate. And so, you know, he has a hard time with that now. Now that he's seen where it can go, now that he's seen, like, literal blood and, like, murder in the name of war, he has a really hard time with certain words. And it's so interesting how the insight can come from different places. Like a Yale privileged rich kid who's like, don't you say that word, it's bad. That's a ridiculous position because they're saying that out of privilege. But my friend is like, don't say that, it's bad. And they both have a very similar take where it's like, you start hearing people be like, calling people like sand niggers and shit like that, be nervous. Because they're trying to take away the humanity of a group. And you can boil that. See, that's why life is all on a spectrum, because we can't function unless we put people in categories, because we can't conceive of very many people. But even on a small level, like when you have like some people are very offended by the word bitch, where it's like, bitch. And that's not even close to sand nigger, but is there an element of subjugation? Yes. You know, you're not grabbing the pussy of a woman. You're grabbing the pussy of a bitch. And for some reason, that's easier to feel. And that, so that's why I can see the sensitivities of women that have experienced sexual assault, or men that love women who have experienced sexual assault, which is another whole category of sensitivity that I am sensitive to, being one of those people. And so it's that fine line. And I think intention is everything, because words change the meaning all the time, but it's intention. Is this word to subjugate a human? So with all this new knowledge, I reevaluated this word or this joke. And I'm still going to do the joke. I'm still going to say the word faggot, but I want to really defang it. I want people to know up front not to do it, not to use it in a way that subjugates anybody, because beating a homosexual human is a lot harder than beating a faggot. And that's just the way the world is, you know, from Hitler to fucking anybody. I don't know. It's like you start calling people vermin and beetles and scum and rats, and that's when you start setting up a very, very bad situation. And both sides of the political spectrum are guilty of this. You know, it's not good to do that. Like when Hillary refers to people as deplorable, you know, there's a lot of, I'm not a Trump supporter. Actually, I fucking can't stand the guy, but I'm not against Trump supporters, if that makes sense. Like, I don't dislike Catholics. I dislike pedophile priests. And that's a very basic thing, because there are people that hate Donald Trump and there are people that hate Hillary Clinton, and they have a lot of reason to. And then there's people that support these people and they kind of overlook their glaring faults because of a need they have, whether it's economic or spiritual, emotional. And it's, I strongly recommend not judging the follower, judge the leader. Because there is not an organization, a religion, a group, nobody without blood on their hands in this world. So it's a hypocritical place to be when you're like, Trump supporters are all blah, blah, blah. Hillary supporters are all blah, blah, blah. Because you don't know where people are coming from. Just like I didn't know where that Twitter gentleman was coming from with what he had experienced in the past. So this is my new take on the word, and check this out.
So the word faggot is a jarring word. You hear it, you're like, whoa, brought that guy, you know? And then, so I started researching where it comes from. Fascinating. It means a bundle of sticks. Everyone knows that, bundle of sticks. But you know why it's a pejorative? Is because it started meaning a burden, a burdensome person. Remember that Led Zeppelin cover with the peasant with all the sticks on his back, and he looks like bummed out because it's like he's got to carry all these fucking, this faggot of sticks. That's where it comes from. Back in the day, it didn't mean gay people. It started off just meaning any bummer, like any buzzkill. Like if someone's hammered, it's like, he's a faggot, because you got to carry him home. Swear to God, 16th century shit. So the reason it switched to gay is because it was an agricultural world where, and that was before farm equipment. Humans were your farm equipment, so you needed like 15 kids, where you're just pounding and trying to make kids. Like, go pick some fucking soy, you know? And then, like, when you had the one kid that's like, I want to tap dance and put Mark's dick in my mouth, it's like, no, we need food. Like, you must make, we don't have equipment. Like, fuck, make equipment with your dick. And then it's like, that's a burden. That's a burdensome man. That's a faggot, right? But this is why life, I have hope. I'll tell you why. Because it's switched. Okay, now we don't live in an agricultural world. It's a service economy. Gay people are kicking ass. Double income, no kids. They're inventing apps. They're going to museums and shit. They're in great shape. They're hilarious. Who's the new burden? Babies. That little faggot is going to cost you $200,000. And there's no more shit to pick. That's hilarious. Like, a baby is now a faggot. Like, you have a baby, you're like, this fucking burden. This burden. I just had a baby. I'm looking at this little faggot. Like, you're taking my sleep away, and you're costing me money, and I don't have a crop. Fucking faggot. And then all my gay friends, I'm like, you guys are fucking kicking ass. And they're like, yeah, can you not bring the faggot to the fun party? That's the end of the joke. I've never had an end to that joke. Can you not bring the faggot to the fun party? Because gay people really do say that. They're like, don't bring the baby, dude. We're fucking doing blow. It's all like worth millions of dollars. I'm just going like this with this kid that shits on me. Love him, though. Love having a baby.
Did you hear my elation at the end? Because I was so comfortable. Because I was natural in that moment. That's why I was like, I just cracked the code. Because it's true. Gay people would laugh the hardest at that because they know it's true. They know that they're in the power position now in a lot of ways and that they can literally be like, don't bring your baby to our fun party. And once you see that it truly is flipped, all the walls fall. And it is just great. I know the audio of that clip was a little shitty. I will... You know, I'm always trying to get the best audio I can, but I have a lot happening. I got to go on the stage, remember that, come off the stage, hit stop, like do sound mixes, make sure that people don't walk in front of stuff or unplug stuff. It's not easy. I'm a one-man show here. But I'm glad that we had this talk today. Oh, and I asked people to give me joke recommendations, and I did most of them, and I had a blast doing it, and I don't have time to play all of them, but I'll just play one because this dude kept following up, and I respect that. Who's this from? Scott Marshall, who I've had some pretty intense Facebook arguments with, but fairly productive. He gave me, he wrote to me, do something about how people always ask to have their credit card, or no one ever has their credit card swiped once when it's declined. So this one's for you, buddy.
Because it's like if you don't pay, they take your ID. It's like a whole situation. I tried using my card. Have you ever noticed that when your card gets declined, you always make them do it again? Like, no one's ever just had their card declined one time. Like, it's like, yeah, this card doesn't work. No one's ever like, yeah. Like, you're always like, try it again. It's your machine. It always takes like three times. Then you're like, yeah. I've never done these jokes before. These aren't jokes. I'm just trying to relate to you guys. Because I know the audio is going to shut off right during a punchline. So, you know, I'm at high alert.
There we go. There we go. Trying to make stuff funny for the people. I love writing jokes and analyzing them. And I know that this did get a little political, but you can't discuss anything without, like, seeing it in the macro and the micro. Like, in the words and the beats. And in what it does to people. And I think we're all experiencing right now in the world this tribalism. And if you want to go back and listen to a previous podcast I did called The Lion and the Banana, I discussed this a lot, how the fear is more motivating on a basic instinctual level than reward. where if a lion's coming at you, you will run faster than if you want a banana. And that's one of the downfalls of science and being so smart, is we know what works. And so we just want to create fear, because that's going to make someone vote against someone, not for someone. Also, I just read a great book. I wasn't going to do books today, but I can't help myself. It's called The Dorito Effect. It's unbelievable. It's about the Doritoization of all food. And it shows, the reason I love this book so much is it doesn't assign blame. It doesn't say, this is why we're fucked. It shows, if you have issues with your weight, everyone does. Everyone battles this shit. Read this book, because it truly isn't your fault. I used to be more of a weight libertarian, where I'm like, you choose your body based on your will. That isn't true, guys. People have addictions to different chemicals and they're getting pumped in the food. And it started very benign, as most things do. It started positive. People were trying to create a bigger chicken to feed more people, but they weren't going for nutrition or taste. They were just going for quantity, and it worked. And they kept making bigger chickens. And then the problem is the chickens tasted like shit. They were bland. So they got into natural and artificial flavors, which FYI means the same thing. Natural flavoring is artificial. It's fucked up. So the problem is it starts tricking your brain into eating nutrition that it isn't getting. And then your body tells it hasn't gotten what it needs. So you're never satiated. They've done studies with obese people and skinny people, and the obese people don't love food more than the skinny people. The problem is they're not satisfied by the food because it hasn't given them the nutrition that they need. So they constantly eat. And the reason that obesity is such a poor epidemic with poverty is because the shit food is cheaper. So if right now you're all ripped and in shape and you're thinking, no, it's all will, there's a good chance you're wealthy. And by wealthy, I mean you make more than $40,000 a year. You're wealthy. You can afford food that isn't complete fucking garbage, because poor people get cheap food that tastes good, and that means it has no nutrition. And it's not like these enriched stuff doesn't mean shit. There are thousands of nutritional items that we need on a daily basis that they don't even know about, that they're discovering all the time, that we can't put into a pill form. We need to eat actual food and actual herbs. And so this book really, really outlines it. And it's I almost consider it a must read, because it'll make you reappreciate. Right now, there's groups of people trying to like get back to what chicken used to be. And apparently it tastes like insanely good. There was like just a few hundred chickens left that hadn't been modified. All these modified foods, even like vegetables and fruits have been modified. Way more carbs, way more water, way less taste. They're now colored. You know, they're fucked with to handle transportation. It's a disaster. The food industry is a disaster. And it didn't come because people want you to be fat. It came because they needed to make more food for a growing population. And now it's just shit. It's all shit. So on that note, Amy and I are building a greenhouse. We're going to make our own fucking food. I'm also getting a chicken coop. So subscribe to the podcast. If you want to support, if you want the coasters, buy some coasters. If you want to just support, you can buy me a beer, buy me a case of beer, whatever you want. That's on my website, hugepianist.com. So let's keep this train moving. And if you comment on the iTunes, it helps me. It helps us. It helps spread the word. And I can't reply because there is no reply option on iTunes, but I read them all and I am very grateful. So check that out. And there'll be a new Case Closed Beers Open dropping this week, and come out to the shows. And thank you for listening. You guys are awesome. And as my Marine buddy says, change your socks and drink some water, which I think is the best joke, or not joke, advice you can get in the world. Be good to each other. Love.
Hey, what up, peeps? It's Jessie Mae Peluso here to tell you about my podcast, The Sharp Tongue, heard each week right here on the Sideshow Network. Every episode is a slice of my life as a touring comedian, and I'm bringing you my favorite funny and interesting friends to talk about whatever is on our minds. I talk about road stories, I talk about horror movies, music, putting fingers in buttholes. Everything you ever want to talk about is right here. It's A Sharp Tongue with me, Jesse May Peluso, every week on iTunes and the Sideshow Network. Download, rate, and subscribe, and tell a friend to check us out, because we need validation. And by we, I mean me. I'm alone here in the studio.